Hi, everyone, and welcome aboard the Grupo Barco Monthly Show. My name is Alex Casares, and today we have a special guest on board, Rob Cumming, good captain and best person. He's currently the captain of Sailing Yacht Saudade, which is a luxury sailing yacht of 45 meters length, based in Palma. Hi, Rob. How are you? Good morning.
Hey, Alex. Good, thanks.
Nice to see you, and it's a really pleasure to have here on board this show, because we started work together years ago when you was mate on board. So for me it's very important to stay with you today here. Just to start, the most simple, could you let us know when you start sailing?
Yeah, I started sailing when I was kind of 9 or 10 years old, I think. Back in Plymouth, there's a great little sailing club called Salt Ash. There's quite a lot of sailors in the industry from there, and it was £20 a year, and I used to go sailing every Friday and started on dinghies and loved it and got really into it. And then as I got a bit older, I was racing dinghies quite competitively and enjoying that side of it, and slowly got into yacht racing. And certainly in my mid-teens was spent pretty much predominantly on the water. And from there, it was just kind of a natural progression to do it full-time. You know, it's when you enjoy it. When you're from somewhere where the industry is pretty significant anyway, it's easy to slide into.
No, for what you are explaining now is basically exactly what I did when I started, because I started also sailing with 8-9 years old here in Palma, with some races, with, you know, the people that they really love sail. They introduced me in that fantastic world. But now you are still sailing. That is a good thing. Yeah, I stopped it, but you are still sailing, and that is let's see what happens in the future. After you start as everybody, that's like a pleasure sailing, start some races, but when you decide to work as professional seaman in that industry?
Not really out of choice, shall we say. I started doing some single-handed sailing in 2009, and I tried to do a single-handed transatlantic campaign and basically ran out of money and learned the hard way how difficult all that was, and very quickly had a lot of debt to pay off and had to go and get paid to go sailing. So I started doing deliveries and a bit more racing on slightly bigger boats, and that was really good for a couple of years. You know, I really enjoyed the freelance stuff, and it was interesting, constantly changing, but realistically I had big bills to pay, and I had to take a full-time job to pay the bills, basically. And I ended up on Leopard in the Caribbean doing the 600, and Shirley put me in touch with Mick on here, and I've been here for 10 years now. So kind of that was the progression to the more full-time work. There was a bit of time on Swans before that, but it was a necessary evil, but it worked out pretty well.
Yeah, would you say when you start sailing, is this part more romantic sailing, you and money, easy fun? After you are growing your own life, you start home, family. It's what happened to all of us. So it's when you just I need a boat, I stay here, and I really start like more professional at the beginning. Well, this romantic part is a little bit in the other, but what we say, when you are sailing, it's not a normal job that you can do. It's not something you really have to enjoy. Meanwhile, you are sailing. If not, it's not. It's so difficult to spend the time sailing if you're really not enjoying during the time.
Yeah, it's a lifestyle, huh? It's so involved. You have to be involved 24/7. Mm. So if you don't enjoy it, you burn out very quickly.
Yeah. Agree. We talked about your boat, Saudade. Can you make an introduction about the Saudade? what kind of the
yeah, 45 meter sailing boat, all carbon, titanium, very great design, really. Yeah, built to go long distance cruising, but fast and race orientated. And he only has been in the industry for many years, and he knew what he wanted, and really come up with a great design. There's lots of space, lots of storage, really good access to all the machinery and everything. And she just sails really, really well. So keeps us on our toes. You know, she's a handful. She's a powerful boat, but great to sail. We can go sailing in almost no wind, and we push pretty hard even cruising. So it's been really good for me. And the sail I started 10 years ago as Decky on the boat with a really good Captain Mike, who taught me a lot, and I had a really good progression up. And yeah, I've been running now for the last 4 years. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's been really exciting. Still keeping me busy. The owner really likes to push the boundaries, and we are always improving the boat. So it's super interesting still, even after all these years.
How many guests do you have on board now?
We can take 12, but normally 8 or so.
Okay. And 2 members?
6 crew full time. Mm-hmm. Maybe a couple more on delivery if it's a longer distance. And then if we're going racing, we've got another 18 on top of that.
Mm-hmm. Which is the plan for racing next year? Because, well, it had been difficult for all the pandemic and the race.
Yeah, we haven't done it for a few years now. And we just have to see what comes, really. I think superyacht racing in general, obviously all racing struggled in the last couple of years. And it's been hard to have the boats to compete against at this size. Bisioni was always one of our main competitors, and My Song, which unfortunately is no longer with us. And it's hard to find the boats that want to push hard, and we certainly don't want to turn up just for fun. It's got to be competitive. but hopefully a few of us will be involved next year, and hopefully we'll be back on the race course soon, because it's I think we all miss it.
Yeah. I think it's part of the summer, that kind of races, because if you really enjoy, and well, the most important is that, because it costs a lot of money, all the movement of this kind of boat, the crew members, rent departments, crew members just for that specific races. But it's nice that you only still love make some races, just to keep everybody.
Oh, it's good. I mean, naturally, most owners are fairly competitive anyway, I think. And if you love sailing, you want to go faster and you want to push it. It's nice. Mm-hmm. And just to get all the people on board who are passionate about it is a good thing. You know, it's keeps everyone excited and keeps everyone pushing the boundaries. Then it's healthy for everyone.
Yeah. Yes, I love to do that, to make that question, because I remember in my own when this happened. Is do you remember the worst storm that you ever passed in your life? Like, I mean, not just in Saudade. Do you remember?
There's a couple that. Yeah, there's 2 or 3 that really stick out. I think my first ever one that was hefty was actually in the English Channel on a 34-foot yacht, and it was 55 knots, wind against tide, lightning everywhere, and just constantly getting knocked down. It was brutal. And the advantage of the English Channel is it's only a 24-36 hour problem, but it was a exhausting problem. And I think I'll always remember that, and that really set the tone. But again, I was lucky to sail with some people who were pretty good, and the boat was very solid, so you know, it was more unpleasant for the crew than the boat. And and we got there and had a good time in France. And bigger boats, yeah, there's been a couple, but certainly the Baltic Sea's proven its worth, and also the Med has been brutal. I've had a couple of times crossing the Gulf to Lyon, which I wouldn't ever wish to repeat. So, yeah.
And you remember when you feel that at this, well, or when you at the moment when you were just under the storm, or after you finished the storm, which is your you know, your sense about the woof, everything has been okay, the boat is okay, I'm okay. That's the most important. You remember the...
Yeah, oh, it's such a relief. I think we all go and decompress in the bar, don't we? And it's something you talk about for years after, I guess. It's a shared memory and good team building, but it's, yeah, just a massive sense of relief, I guess. And gives you more confidence for the next time as well. Once you've learned the boat and learned what you can take, then gives you a bit more confidence moving forward.
I think that this is what happened in our life. It's part of the seaman experience. You need to pass these storms, and you need to grow your own, and every time more is part of the. If this, I mean, we need it to pass some storms and grow for ourselves.
Oh, of course, you know, it's part of the job, isn't it? But it's if you only went sailing when it was nice weather, you'd not go sailing very often in the UK, at least. So,
yeah. I don't know the pilots for the flight. They say the same, but probably yeah. I don't know. But in our case, I think that we can enjoy during the storm. I'm not sure if a plane can enjoy during problems or big storm. But sometimes maybe I will interview some pilot. I can ask him. Not about, well, normally you spend, because since we met here in Palma, you spend the winter time here in Palma. Do you remember the first time when you arrived to Palma? And because when you arrived to Palma, was with the boat for holidays?
The first time I came to Palma was for a boat. I flew in to take a boat across the Atlantic. 2010, I think, over in Club de Mar, and it was it was great. It was a new experience to have everything so close, and obviously you see everyone you know and you've met around the world because everyone's always here, so it was a nice experience. And you know, of course it's Spanish food, and the weather was pretty welcome as well, especially back then. I hadn't spent a lot of time in the Med, so it was quite exciting. I do remember that well.
And it's nice, when you arrive, well, I can say that because I'm from Palma, but always I say that when you arrive at Bay of Palma, you have the cathedral, you have that magnificent bay. You can start to see all the yachts on the marinas, and it's a really nice place to arrive with them.
Yeah, I think the cathedral on the water is pretty hard to beat, isn't it? It's an amazing entrance.
Yeah. It's amazing. Huh? And also you have all the bars, now with the pandemic, but you have a lot of places around the bay where after burn the boat, you can enjoy your time to the island. So that's nice. That's nice. Well, you are a quite young captain, which is that is good for you, because you. But at the same time, you have very experienced, because you are selling during many years now. Every year we can meet here in Palma in the STP yard for repairs and maintenance. Can you explain me why you choose Palma and why you choose STP? To do all your repairs? And
you know, back in the day when we first chose to come over here, it was more driven by where the boat was going to be based out of. But obviously there are a few options around this area, and STP always stood out as a good option, a competitive option, and certainly has the space available to do everything we needed, especially in race prep and stuff like that. And then it's just become an impossible to beat, really. There's something about being able to manage your own contractors and the competition that gives you good prices and good quality. And it's a no-brainer now, to be honest. It's the most cost-effective way, but also just the best way to get the stuff we do done. A lot of the modifications we do are fairly complicated and technology-intensive.
Yeah.
Upgrades, and I don't think there's many shipyards in the world that could handle that, you know. But here we've got some of the best boat builders in the world are sat here, and and people pull this stuff apart all the time, which gives you the confidence to really get into systems that you wouldn't necessarily normally pull apart. You know, you'd certainly give yourself more time to do it.
Yeah. Mainly what you say, because Saudade is not it's not a simple boat. It's quite complicated with carbon, with many technologies. But it's nice because every year, all the improvement that you do, all the maintenance, also the all the companies, they learn about the boat. They teach a lot with the boat, so they are growing themselves. That is very good for the industry here in Palma. But you said that you, the first time you arrived in was around 10 years ago. So what do you think about the growth of the nautical industry in the last 10 years? You have seen the
it's grown a lot, yeah. And it's incredible, really. I think in a good way. I think there's so much more competition now. The quality and size of the companies involved has got a lot bigger and more capable. Mm. And as you say, they've learned the skills and learned the boats, which is irreplaceable, really. But yeah, it's been quite amazing to see. And to watch a couple of big boats get hauled out every day for 6 months is quite incredible here. And it just goes to show that everyone thinks it's a good place to be. But it's grown a lot, and I'm sure it'll keep going.
Mm, yeah, probably in 10 years from now, we will see, wow, bigger boat. And we can say, yeah, we remember, not just 30 years, just today, from now to 30 years, we'll say, wow, have changed a lot, the industry. Let's see. Of course, we need to, now we are not... but we can just say that we passed the COVID, the coronavirus. We are still in there, but we can start to see the final of the tunnel. So how the COVID affect the super yacht industry, but for the point of view for Jonsson, the captain, with the management, which are the
for us personally, but we got stuck in the Caribbean initially, so it was it was fairly stressful at that time. But realistically, actually, program-wise, it hasn't massively affected us. Obviously, we've spent more time at anchor. We've not been going ashore so much. Certainly, I don't think any guests have eaten ashore for a while, and things have stayed more on the boat and more close, shall we say. But we still use the boat fairly regularly. Last summer was spent just around the Balearics, which was a safe and a good option. I've found many good little anchorages around here now. but even this summer, you know, we've done Greece and Italy, and obviously there's more paperwork and more stress, but generally it hasn't been a major factor for us. I think in industry as a whole, that's probably a different story. I think everything's a lot more last minute. There's a lot less security, and I think a lot of experienced people have found themselves out of jobs, and I think people have just reassessed a little bit on what's important in life as well. A lot of friends I know have been in the industry a long time have started to move on. It's certainly a big change, and even just getting crew locally has been really difficult this year. People can't fly in. It's an interesting year. But then refit-wise and things like that, it's not been majorly different apart from timing. You need a bit more time because there's less contractors available and a bit more time for parts and supply chains and things like that. But generally speaking, we've been pretty lucky to get away with it, I think. Certainly not the easiest one, though. One I hope I don't have to repeat in the next lifetime.
I know. Well, what we have seen, Rory, you're the same, is that the owners, because with the pandemic, they cannot travel a lot. So they spent more time on board because they felt safe on board with the same people. I mean, with the crew members, basically, the same guests. And so they spent, they sail a lot during the summer. And I think that this change also appears a new potentially owners that they are thinking, oh, maybe in the past about, I mean, something, yeah, it's a get there something, but I they didn't was very interested with the industry, with the yacht. But now you are thinking to buy a boat because they say, well, why not? No, it's a place that I can be there with my family. It's I don't need to share with more people or big hotels. So I think that this could be a good thing and for the industry as well.
Yeah, I think it's certainly, there seems to be more interest. Certainly the charter side seemed quite busy and for many people. And then even speaking the last few months, I've noticed there's quite a lot of new owners looking for boats, mm-hmm. talking and asking questions. It's good. It's good for the industry. Even on the sailing side, like, I think we've seen a dip in the last few years, but it sounds like there's a lot of younger owners now interested in sailing again. That's good for all of us, and hopefully they get excited, and if they want to go racing and everything, it'll be exciting for a few more years.
Yeah. I think so. The same, that it's good for we can say the future in the industry will be very good for everyone. So that's good. Now I can give you, well, I can ask you a question which is very difficult because it's not easy to the answer. But can you predict what will be the nautical industry in Mallorca the following 10 years? What do you think? I know it's a difficult question.
I think naturally it has to, it will keep growing. But of course, there has to be some balance there because eventually you run out of space. So maybe it stabilizes a little bit, probably depending on how much investment there is in the port and the space available. But I could see it, of course, is going to keep growing. And I think you'll find a lot of these companies that have weathered the COVID storm probably going to keep a more stable base of staff around now with less people flying in and out of England, etc., to top up when it's busy. I think the companies will probably become a bit more stabilized and have a more core team, is my gut feeling. From a boat perspective, I could certainly see everyone's still going to try and get space here, but maybe using it for more intense yard periods and then having to disperse a little bit just as if space isn't available. But I certainly see no lack of interest in being here. I think it's well established as the place that it is, and everyone's going to keep using it. It will be very interesting to see. Now, hopefully, if we can get some more space to spread out, then it's good for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely agree with you, because until now, because there still was there was some space available. So during these 10 years, that space now, I've been less space. Now the space is absolutely limited, and mainly we are in an island. So of course we need a balance, as you say. It's not just to make more yards, more. No, we need a balance because it's absolutely necessary for the future. Have to grow, of course, but with a balance. So, well, I know that we are talking with the government here, with the port authority, which is the best way to keep growing industry, but with the balance, with the environment and with everything, because it's not, well, will be, as you say, will be very interested what happened in 10 years when I talk to you, when I interview again, we will talk about if our prediction was good or not. We will see. No, apart from your time in here in Palma, well, you are working on board and every day and well, following all the running work. What you are doing during your time in here in Palma for pleasure? What you do? What you can do?
When I do get time, which doesn't ever seem to be enough time. I've got my motorbike here now, so I've just been going up to the mountains and driving that around at the weekends, which is awesome, especially in COVID with quiet roads has been perfect, and the roads are fantastic up in the mountains. And yeah, just a little bit of fitness and doing all the restaurants and the odd bit of golf with some friends. But it's just a good place to do lots of little bits and bobs, isn't it? Go and explore. I've been trying to get out of Palma because it's not a huge island, but there's a lot to see, and so many places I haven't really spent much time. So it's been nice to go and find some cool little restaurants around the island and just go and explore a little more this last year for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. No, that's, you play golf, so that's the first time I heard that.
Maybe
once we can go together, because I never played, so it will be fun that we go together and see what and see what happens. So I think for today, again, have been a really pleasure for me to interview this great person, great captain, which also that I met years ago. So we have very good relation. We will keep like that, sailing or not, or working together or not. So Rob, thank you very much again. And for sure, in the future, I will interview you again, probably on board. You can show your work, because it's a magnificent boat. We can talk more about the performance of the boat, and that could be very interesting also for everyone.
Yeah, that would be great. Thanks for having me, and thanks for everything over the years. It's always good to touch base. So thank you very much. All the best.
Okay. Thanks to you. Thank you, everybody. And I will see you next month in the show from Grupo Barco. Thank you very much. Bye bye.